One, and we are live. What is up, everybody? Aaron the Dog back with breakdown number 2 of 2 for the day. If you didn't know already, the LFA 122 breakdown is live on the channel right now with Lucky Locks Picks. You can go ahead and watch that after this, but we are here for UFC 270, the first pay-per-view of the year. And with the first pay-per-view of the year, I could only have one guest as my fellow host, and that is Bunny herself, a.k.a. Boston Comments. How you doing tonight?
Hi. I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. We got a double title pay-per-view to start out the year and a whole lot of debutantes, like the most UFC debuting fighters on a card in a very long time.
Eight, right?
Which I'm not sure when the last time they had this many for any fight, like a fight night card was, let alone for a pay-per-view. But I'm pretty excited about it. I'm glad to have you. There's no one else I'd rather have here joining me. So the reason for the channel, as she hates when I say that. But it's the truth. The channel would not exist if she without your encouragement.
Wait, the MMA minute tuning in saying, I'm just here so I don't get fined. He's read my bio. That's right.
And Bill here, Fiance Knowles. Hello, hello. Good to have you all here. Thank you guys for joining us. We're really pumped to be here and break down this card. It's good to have everybody. I'll have the timestamps in the description. Like I said, LFA card, but we got a heavyweight title fight and a flyweight title fight, and I'm not sure which one I'm more excited about between the two. So I'm looking forward to talking about those, particularly in depth. But we got 13 fights on the fight card here. We're going to start at the bottom because we watch the damn prelims here.
That's right. Watch the damn prelims, hashtag.
Exactly. Follow that hashtag and you will find Boston Comments. But we start at the flyweight division here. With a fight between Jasmine Jezavikius, which they're starting me out with the easy ones, and Kay Hansen, Jasmine out of Canada, Kay Hansen, the American here. Decent flyweight fight. Honestly, not one that I'm going to be too crazy about here, but with Jasmine, it's kind of interesting, her being nearly 33 years old by the time of this fight and making her UFC debut. In the flyweight division, that's super late on and only 6-1. Yeah, she's got less experience. Go ahead.
No.
Did you say?
No.
Oh, sorry.
It's like 33 versus 22. Like, very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, right away, 11-year age difference there. 7-4 for Kay Hansen, so she has more fights. Fighting on 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu here, Kay Hansen. She was kind of hyped up back in Invicta when she was like 18, taking on fights, and now 22. She's been all right so far. Lost her last fight out back in November of last year, and that was to Corey McKenna. And she's been off since then. She didn't fight in 2021 at all. She had a couple fights scheduled, but just nothing. They both fizzled out. Before that, she had a pro boxing career where she went 1-4. So not exactly great there either. She had to lose all decisions there, but a little bit more known as a grappler. She got out-grappled by Aaron Blanchfield. No shame there early on. We've seen how good Aaron Blanchfield is. She beat Jinyu Frey in her UFC debut. Jinyu Frey was coming up in weight there. Against Corey McKenna, she was just kind of she was a little bit stagnant, a little bit tentative coming forward, and definitely cost her. And I think that could kind of be a similar thing here with Jasmine. With Jasmine, it's just one of these things where she's not that great anywhere, to be honest. She's a decent wrestler. She wrestled in high school, I believe. Fights on Niagara Top Team in Canada. Won her last two, but she really hasn't fought that great of a competition. You see 1-1, 0-0, 2-2. 2-1, lost 2-1-0, Elise Reed, who we saw Elise Reed get pretty beat down in her debut, beat Ashley Dean, a 5-5 fighter. And then Julia Polisari with the Contender Series. She was looking good for the first two rounds and then gassed down in the third round. So this is a pretty low-level fight, to be honest. My opinion is that Kay Hansen at minus 200 is a crazy odds, and I would not bet Kay Hansen at that. But I'm not that confident in Jasmine either. Gun to my head, I'll take Kay Hansen to get a submission win. But
submission win?
Yeah, I mean,
she's a minus 260 favorite, and she has 100% takedown defense.
Yeah, exactly. And Jasmine's going to, I think, try to get her down at some point. Jasmine doesn't have great stand-up herself. It's not a fight I'm looking to bet or I'm super confident in, if I'm being honest with you. But we make picks on every fight. And if I gun to my head, I'm taking Kay Hansen. And I'd take the submission, I guess. But I'm seeing minus 240 now, plus 205 on Jasmine. Pretty crazy odds. I would not bet those.
And I'm with Justin on this one. I'm picking Jasmine to win. I love jiu-jitsu. Kay Hansen's all about that jiu-jitsu. I don't have faith in either of these women. With no offense, absolutely no offense, you know, but they're on a prelim card for a pretty huge pay-per-view.
Yeah. That,
you know, like, you got to respect it. 33 years old. She's got a little bit more experience. Kay is a favorite for a reason, but I feel like she, I don't know, man. I have Jasmine by decision, and I'm sticking with it. This is one of those ones where I'm comfortable. I would be comfortable betting a dog just for the fuck of it, but I don't bet. So, but I'm still picking Jasmine by decision. I don't think this is going to get a finish.
Yeah, I think that it's pretty likely it is going to a decision. I think that's fair, but I'd just take a little bit of a shot if I was, but I'm pretty much passing on this.
Yeah, you don't need to bet on it anyways. This is a first prelim card. There's no reason to bet on this. There's plenty to bet on. There's a lot of close odds on this card, which is what I like.
Yeah, including with the LFA, you might as well pass on this one. But we're going to disagree on our first pick of 2022. I'm going Kay Hansen. You've got Jasmine Jazervikius. And that's the last time I'm going to try to say that name on
this. It's more complicated than Joanna Jerzycek.
Amazing. But, yeah, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, also known as Joanna Champion. But next fight here is a little bit easier for both of us. Matt Frivola taking on Genaro Valdez here. This is at 155. Should be a pretty good fight. Matt Frivola, for the most part, pretty entertaining in his fights when he makes it past the seven-second mark. Like he did not against Terrence McKinney, but you know, as Terrence McKinney, he's now going from a quick knockout of a really good prospect to a 10-0 Mexican fighter in Genaro Valdez, as out of Mexico, 30 years old, 5'10", 71-inch reach. So they match up in reach here, has a one inch height advantage, but 30 and 31, pretty even in terms of those numbers. Genaro Valdez coming from the Contender Series, had a really, really good fight with Patrick, I believe it was White. Yeah, Patrick White on the Contender Series. He was a minus 500 favorite in that fight. And I remember quite well that fight. And I actually had Patrick White in that fight. I bet Patrick White at plus 400. And Patrick White was looking very good in that first round, connecting really quite well with Valdez. One thing Valdez does quite a bit, in not only his Contender Series fight, but other fights I noticed, was throws a lot of naked leg kicks, like single leg kicks, where he's leaving himself open for those counter shots, open for those shots. And Matt Frivola doesn't have the best of power, but he does throw some pretty straight shots with his, and I could see him definitely countering those leg kicks or taking those leg kicks and looking to take this fight to the ground. You know, I do know Valdez has some good finishes on the ground. He likes to take his opponents to the ground himself. So I could see there being some scrambles in this fight. This fight kind of going a little bit longer, just based on how Valdez looked in his last fight against Patrick White. I do think
Patrick White's the Contender Series.
Yeah.
Oh, it says it right there.
No, it's all good.
That was a good finish though. That was a good fight. I didn't.
Yeah, he knocked him out in the second round and took a ton of damage and. Again, I had Patrick White, so that one hurt a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, Valdez, he came from Combate, fought over in Lux Fight League as well, so he's had some decent experience here, but he hasn't fought a crazy level of competition against Patrick White, who while Patrick White is 9-1, he wasn't all that sharp. To be honest, he really made him look better. I think Matt Frivola by far his biggest test here. Matt Frivola, 2-fight losing streak too, so he's definitely going to be desperate in this one. But his 2-fight losing streak, his 2-fight losing streak is Armin Sarukian and Terrence McKinney. So I'm not exactly going to be faulting him for either one of those. Has a win over Jalen Turner on his record.
Hey,
Tarantula,
the homie.
Yeah, and that victory has aged very, very well. Yeah. A win over Roush Manfio, even over in Titan FC. Roush Manfio has done some really great work over with PFL. Had a couple wins over Anthony Pettis this past year. Win over Luke Flores on the Contender Series. So a lot of really good experience for Frivola. Training out of Gracie Tampa South now. I think that Frivola is going to use a lot of pressure in this fight. I think the pressure eventually bursts, and my best friend, Brandon Bishop, makes his first appearance live on the program. Brandon, good to have you here, my friend.
I'm here in the comments.
Shout out to Brandon. Brandon has been my boy since I was, 4 or 5 years old. So literally my best friend in the world. So shout out to Brandon. Love you, buddy.
Where the fuck have you been before, Brandon? It took 2 seconds.
Hey, you know, he's been busy. He just had a baby. And, you know, right now. And then speaking of babies, I got Chico here. But I like Matt Frivola in this spot quite a bit. I think that Valdez, by far, this is his biggest test. And Frivola, 2 fights out. If he loses this fight, it's pink slip time. I think Frivola fights off a really solid camp. And I like the wrestling. I like him to use the pressure and the volume all day long. He's been here before. I've just given him a hard time. Of course, he's been here before.
You're going Matty F, eh?
I got Matt Frivola in this one.
This is our second disagreement.
In 2 fights.
But you know what? I feel okay with it because the rest of the card, I'm pretty much picking favorites. Just by chance, I look at the odds after I make my pick. But I am going Valdez, and I'm going by TKO.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to go decision.
I mean, Terrence McKinney might have changed Matt's chin forever. That's fair.
Maybe. Terrence McKinney is no joke. I mean, he really worked his way. You got to give him credit. Terrence McKinney is also the homie. So what's up, Terrence? So many homies. Neither of them have a crazy impressive striking record. So I see why this is number 2 on the prelim card. Not that we judge prelims. And I can totally see Frivola bringing the heat just so as a lot is on the line for him, more so than Valdez, because Valdez, he's like 10-0.
10-0, this is his debut. So
exactly,
yeah.
It's his debut. He is 30 and Frivola is 31. So it's like you got the 30-year-old debut who has time to grow and time to prove himself, or you have the 31-year-old in Matty who's going to either be cut. You know, like this is do or die. And
Justin being
more than to see Matty win, but I do have Valdez here and I have him by TKO. I don't know what round, but I have him by TKO.
All right. We look at the odds here and I got the favorite again here at -185 and Matt Frivola. I like that number quite a bit for Matt Frivola.
-215 since this afternoon, so it must have fucking really.
Yeah, it depends on the site you're looking to. But plus 170 to plus 160 on Valdez here. I think it's a decent dog pick if you're wanting it. I'm seeing a lot of people liking it by TKO. So I totally get the disagreement there. But we will move on. 2 fights into 2022, we have 2 disagreements. So that's always interesting. This next fight here is at strawweight. It's been rescheduled a couple times now. It is Vanessa Demopoulos versus Silviana Gomez Juarez. Vanessa Demopoulos out of my favorite organization right now, LFA, to be honest with you, former LFA strawweight champion. LFA really delivering some great fights, and I went 5-6 last week on my picks. So go ahead and check out the LFA breakdown on the channel now. But we've got – I said this last time I broke this fight down. I'll say it again. The combined age of these two strawweights is 72? Years old.
72.
It's 70. It is 70 years old. That is crazy for the 115-pound division. You're not going to see that a lot. When combined, they have one or two UFC fights between them and two losses, by the way, in those fights. Vanessa Demopoulos took a fight on short notice against J.J. Aldridge and made J.J. Aldridge look like one of the best fighters in the world. So that makes me really worried about Vanessa Demopoulos. And Silviana Gomez-Juarez got really unlucky and had a short notice fight against Lupe Godinez. And Lupe just did work. So right here, I kind of look at this as the real debut for both these fighters. It's basically striker versus grappler. It's plain and simple as that. Does Vanessa Demopoulos have the wrestling and enough of the stand-up game to make Silviana Gomez-Juarez think enough to get her down to the ground? And she's going to have to get her down a couple times, I think. And I think that's a real kind of question in this fight. Silviana Gomez-Juarez has definitely the stand-up game and the power to put away Vanessa Demopoulos, though. Vanessa is very, very hittable on the feet. And that's my big concern here. The first time around, I was on Vanessa Demopoulos. I thought that most likely the grappling would be the difference. Maybe she gets a submission. I've actually kind of taken a switch here. Silviana Gomez-Juarez training at the same gym as four different fighters on this card, actually. Michael Morales, as well as Brendan Moreno. So definitely a good camp right now. A lot of good momentum there. And I think that I didn't think Gomez-Juarez looked that bad against Godinez. I know it was only a one-round fight, but she did crack Godinez quite a few times in that fight. And Vanessa's shown to be quite hittable in her fights. I think that Vanessa is, doesn't have the wrestling needed to consistently get this to the ground too. And then if you're going to stand up, I think Silviana comes a significant favorite. So I'm going with Argentina here. I got Silviana Gomez-Juarez, and I think she gets the knockout.
Yes, Aaron. You and Justin both beat me to it, but you know me, I'm always rolling with the Argentinian fighters just because my best friend is from Argentina. And 6-4 at 33 years old does not sit well with me. So I immediately saw that and was like, all right, it's going to take a lot of convincing for me to root for Demopoulos. But I also saw the fight against Lupe from Gomez, and Lupe, a loss to Lupe. Lupe's a fucking savage, man.
Well, they both lost to Lupe.
Oh, they did. Wait, when did Vanessa fight Lupe?
Vanessa fought Lupe for the strawweight title. Went five rounds, and it was actually a majority decision for Lupe, but it was a great fight.
When did I miss that fucking fight?
That was back in LFA.
Oh, that was in the LFA days. Dude, how did I miss that? All right, nonetheless, a loss to Lupe says a lot, but I don't know. I have a little bit more faith in Gomez on this one, but I do have it going the distance. I have Gomez by decision. I don't think there's going to be a finish here either.
Okay. Yeah, I think that if Gomez wins, I'm hoping it's by a finish here because I just think the striking. But, yeah, either way, it's not a fight that I think either fighter can really afford to lose at this stage in their career. And I agree.
I don't have a favorite.
What did you say?
I said, who's the favorite in this one? I don't have the odds.
Oh, sorry. It's slight favorite for Vanessa Demopoulos at minus 140. Plus 115, plus 120 on Silviana Gomez. I would not bet on this fight. If I were any of you, I just let this one go as well. Again, it's just a little bit too tough to call. But we'll move on to the next fight here. This is at the bantamweight division between Tony Gravely and the newcomer Simon Oliveira. Simon Oliveira. Fighting again off the Contender Series. We have a few Contender Series debutants coming up on this card. 18-3 for the 30-year-old out of Brazil. 67-inch reach against the 5'5", 69-inch reach of Tony Gravely, 21-7. So both guys, quite a bit of experience, 28 versus 21 fights, 30 years old for both guys. Definitely ATT versus Astra fight team. Simon Oliveira, the Brazilian, I'll break down first. 18-3, had a really entertaining fight on the Contender Series back in September with Jose Aldai. Jose Aldai came and really brought the fight to him. It was a very close fight, ended up being a split, actually. And Simon Oliveira did kind of just slow down in that fight. You look at most of his wins, he's finished most of his fights, and most of them coming by way of submission. Definitely a good grappler. Looks to kind of pin his opponents against the cage, get them down. Never been finished in his losses either. Tough opponent. He's kind of a little bit of a tank, very well built for the division as well. Striking wise is where I think he can have some issues, but and I'm curious with Gravely, because I think Gravely will look to put him on his back. But Tony Gravely, 21-7, lost his last fight out pretty disappointingly to Nate Maness. Got just over eager with his striking, got countered in the second round and put away pretty cleanly in that one. Before that, had a split decision with Geraldo de Freitas. That's not really that great to see. He got choked out by Brett Johns. Did beat Anthony Berchek, but and Ray Rodriguez. But there seems to be a little bit of a delay in kind of where I think people expected Gravely to be. This is a pretty close fight for me once again. I wasn't blown away by Simon Oliveira in my tape leading up to the Contender Series. I actually had Jose Aldai, and in that fight, I think that he should have been able to look a little better than he did against Jose Aldai. So I honestly just am not sold on Simon Oliveira. So I'm going to go with Tony Gravely. Not extremely confident there either, but I think Tony Gravely gets him down and just kind of dominates him with the wrestling here. Just kind of cruises to a little bit of a decision. I think the gas tank of Simon Oliveira is a definite question for me. And then stand-up wise, I just don't think Oliveira has enough in it to keep Gravely off him.
I got to make a note on this one because we very much disagree. I want to make a note on this one, bro. Hang on.
That's fine.
Disagree. I got to make a note, dude. You're saying it's going to come down to decision?
Yeah.
I got to write a note on this one. So you're picking Gravely by decision.
Yeah. I think he just wrestles him.
That's interesting. You know that. I know, Gravely is the favorite. He's like a minus 250 favorite, right?
I don't care about it. We're talking about.
No, I'm asking.
Yeah, he's a significant favorite in this fight. Yeah.
You know that Simon has like 11 subs on his record. That's not something to ignore.
That's a great point.
And he's from Brazil. It's a huge.
Tony Gravely's been submitted before.
I know. That's
three times.
This always intrigues me.
Five times.
I mean, I don't know. Gravely's from American Top Team. We're big fans of American Top Team here, aren't we? But they're both 30. They both have like fairly similar-ish records. You know what I mean? Like they've got a lot of wins and like very few lot. Well, 21-7, that's for Gravely. That's kind of like,
You're looking at guys like Brett Johns that he's lost to, Patchy Mix. Like he's losing to a Bellator champion fighter, contender.
That's true.
Brett Johns is a future contender, himself. I mean, you got Nate Maness is a pretty damn good fighter. I mean, these aren't losses to scrubs. Manny Bermudez used to be a good fighter before he lost his motivation. Ricky Bandejas is a very good fighter. Mira Divashvili. I mean, his losses are to the best of the best. Pat Sabatini in his second fight ever. So, I mean, is Simon Oliveira on that level? Even though, yes, he does have the submission, the level of guys that Simon Oliveira is submitting is not that great. And I think maybe you're just picking Simon Oliveira because he looks like Thomas Almeida.
That's what Justin just said. Why don't you guys come up with your own fucking opinions instead of clues? Why don't you guys get it? Get off each other's dick, and then I will start talking to you. I'm picking Oliveira by sub because that's what I wrote down on the clipboard, and I can't change it. And I wrote down that you picked Gravely by decision, and we're gonna come back to this fight.
Yeah, we'll be talking during that fight, I'm sure. So
fuck you, Tony, Justin.
Tony Gravely is a -240 favorite. From a bang perspective, don't bet that price. That is a crazy price. This is a much closer fight than that. And Tony Gravely has shown he slips on banana peels multiple times inside the octagon. Plus 205 on Oliveira is the only play here. It's a dogger pass, I will say that much. But that being said, I do have Gravely by decision. So,
all right, we disagree.
That's three disagreements in four fights. So let's see where we go from here. But yeah, so far it's it's great to have you back. Next fight here is at 170. I've looked quite a bit into this guy, Pete Rodriguez. He is getting this opportunity against Jack Della Maddalena on short notice. Jack Della, the Australian, Pete Rodriguez out of Arizona. Pete Rodriguez fought with Icon. For all four of his wins as a pro, Dave Van Auken, a member of Icon, or familiar with Icon, so told me, watch out for Pete Rodriguez. He's been telling me about Pete Rodriguez for a while. This is what I got to say about Pete Rodriguez. He's going to come into this fight on very short notice. He's about 5'8", welterweight. He's going to be one of the smallest welterweights. The guy hits like a brick shithouse. He's fought next to nobody in terms of level of competition so far.
Yes.
And he's going to have a very, very small window to get this fight done in. But it's the way he's going to have to fight as a short notice fighter to get this fight done. Jack Della, he looked pretty good in his debut. I'll give him that. But he really started to slow down as the fight went on. He's very, very hittable. And those are some of my concerns with him against a guy like Pete Rodriguez. If he lets Pete Rodriguez hit him with a couple shots, I sincerely believe Pete Rodriguez can put him away. I think he has the power to put away anybody. And we've seen these guys on these short notice debut fights like Chaos Williams. We've seen these guys on their short debut fights like Devontae Smith. These other guys who they come in and they fight with a freedom. Terrence McKinney, another guy. And Pete Rodriguez just comes in here and says, I got 2 minutes to win this fight. He can win this in 2 minutes. I have no doubt in my mind he can do that. But after that, as this fight goes on, I feel Jack is the much more polished, better striker, and he can, I think, keep a distance here. I think that Jack knows the way he loses this fight. So I got Jack Della in this fight. But before I just want to go a little bit over him, and then I'll shoot it over to you. He lost his first two fights of his career, and since then he's rattled off 10 straight. I think that's great. I really like seeing that out of a guy. You know, again, he was put away by strikes and by rear naked choke in his first two. Showed a lot of tenacity to come back. And since he's had all finishes, nearly all by KO, in fact, all by KO until a decision on the Contender Series, Andre Lusa was a very good fighter. It was a very good fight. He was getting ready for Warley Alves. I think that Jack should be able to handle this. But again, Pete is going to, if Pete comes in and just fights with reckless abandonment, one of those punches could hit Jack. Jack has been put away in one of his losses, and Pete has all the power to put him away, but I'm going to go with Jack Della here.
Yes. By what way?
I think he puts him away in the second or third round, probably.
Yes. Is this our first agreement or our second agreement?
It's our second agreement, I think.
Because right. We'll I have Jack what by say.
What's that?
I have Jack by TKO here.
Okay. And what else did you? One thing I do want to mention to people is that if you're just looking up Pete Rodriguez on YouTube or on Fight Pass, you're not going to find all his fights. You have to look up Pedro Rodriguez as well. So just a little bit of he went as Pedro Rodriguez for his first three fights before changing to Pete Rodriguez. So
that's a pro tip for you bettors.
Yeah. If you're looking for a little extra tape, Pedro Rodriguez, he went by for his early fights. The odds are heavily with Jack Della. No surprise here. -335, +275 on Rodriguez. It's getting to the point where I don't think that you should be betting Jack Della too heavily, but I also understand including him in some of your parlays. If he's in your three most confident, I can still understand that. But I'm telling you, if Pete Rodriguez comes out and fights the way a short-nosed fighter should fight, which is thinking, I can't win a three-round fight, I need to win this in one, he does have the power to put him away. So I'm just saying, next week, if I was talking about Jack Della being KO'd by Pete Rodriguez, I'm not surprised. But I got to go with Jack here.
It's a debut, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, but Pete Rodriguez is 4-0. Pete Rodriguez is 4-0. He's faced nobody for the most part. So, yeah, I got to go with Jack Della.
But it's MMA, too. So, like, literally anything could happen. Pete could literally show up, and this could be the way, you know, like, some prospects come out and make their name, like, universal. You know what I mean? They make it, like, a household name. So this could very well be Pete.
Yeah,
have Jack by TKO, but that's just from the footage that I saw of him. And Jack's amateur record speaks for itself. You know, if you look at you can't just look at their record alone. That does not tell the whole story. But I just have confidence in Jack. He's got, like, 75% takedown rate. Like, he's got good takedown defense. Jack does. But I think it'll be stand-up, and I think they're going to do it mostly on the hands.
Yeah.
And I think this short notice fight, I don't know if it's Pete's time, but he's the perfect thing is he's young. He's 25 years old and he's only fought what, 4 pro fights?
Four times. He definitely shouldn't be in the UFC yet. And that's kind of the other argument against why I'm
he's
going
late on the prelim, not late, but he's not the starting prelim too. So like he's up there, you know,
that's a huge opportunity, but we'll move on to the next fight here. Another 170 fight, Michael Morales taking on Trevin Giles. Trevin Giles, the former middleweight, making his first fight ever at 170. So that's a huge question mark right away there, how he's going to look at the 170 division. From what I've been able to see on his social media, he looks like he's in great shape. So that's definitely good. And sometimes when these fighters have to be that much more disciplined, it does really pay off. But where I'm concerned is he's facing – really well-rounded, I think. Maybe I'm going to look stupid next week, but I think potential superstar, potential prospect here in Michael Morales. Ecuador MMA has, I think, a new violent star here in Michael Morales. He will be the second Ecuadorian to ever fight in the UFC, the first being one of my favorite fighters, Chito Vera. Michael Morales, I think, has the potential to really follow in his footsteps really well, training out of the same gym as Brandon Moreno. So he's training with a UFC champion in a really good facility and made an absolute statement on the Contender Series. I really was impressed with him there. Trevin Giles, though, I'll break down first here. Still only 29 years old for the former police officer. 6 foot tall, 74-inch reach. He has an actually 5-inch reach disadvantage to Michael Morales, the 22-year-old fighting out of Ecuador here. But, yeah, fighting out of War Training Center for the problem with Trevin Giles. Very good boxer. You'll hear everybody say one of the best jabs in MMA. But one thing he doesn't have great is a head movement at times. Leaves his head just right, just going straight back to get countered. That's what happened against Rizkis Duplicis when he got knocked out there. Now he's moving down in weight after a knockout. So some questions about the chin. We saw against James Krause. James Krause was able to get him down pretty consistently. I personally thought James Krause won in that one personally. And that was like not that was James Krause going up to 185 on super short notice too. So some questions there for me. Giles getting wins over Dalitse and Bevan Lewis. Okay. Got choked out by Mearshart. Got choked out by Zach Cummins. I think that there's, you know, he's got good stand-up, but he doesn't do a whole lot other than punches. He throws like 3 to 4 leg kicks per 15 minutes. Doesn't really do a whole lot there. His takedown sometimes can be there. I think that could be a factor as this fight goes on. But I'm telling you, I think that a lot of people are going to be shortchanging Michael Morales here, and I'm not going to do it. 12 straight wins for him, 6 foot, 79-inch reach, nearly an 80-inch reach for him, 22 years old. He was born June 24th, 1999, to make everybody feel old out there. at least
that, dude.
Yeah, it came off a really impressive win on the Contender Series against a guy who a lot of people were arguing was already UFC ready, and Nikolai Ventura-Tenetkov. He got a decision there. That was his first decision of his career. Before that, second decision of his career. Before that, all finishes mostly by strikes. Has a few in the first round, a few in the second round. Showed great scrambling ability in the fight. Showed good wrestling. And his stand-up game is very good, and I think can definitely compete in there with Giles. I think these guys are very well matched up, and the fact that they're giving Morales somebody with as much experience as Giles in his debut is a really huge test. The thing is, Giles is coming down to welterweight for the first time. I'm curious how that affects both his chin and his cardio overall. I anticipate his cardio should be good, but I'm not as sure on the chin, and I think Morales has the power to get this done. I don't know if he does, but I like Morales in this fight. And I think too many people are saying Morales has to get this finish or this is Giles' fight. I think Morales can take this to a decision also. Yes. And I like Morales in this position. I love the price. I am all over Michael Morales until I have a reason not to be.
Yes. All right. This is where we start to sync up, Aaron. Mm-hmm. I have my decision as well.
Okay.
He is the favorite, so not too many people are counting him out.
Well, I mean, that's not necessarily true, and the money has been coming in on Giles, so we'll see who closes this.
We're going Morales by decision.
Okay, how do you see this fight kind
of
going?
He's 22. He's got an impressive record for a 22-year-old. Even if most of his fights are in Ecuador, he has an impressive record for a 22-year-old. The kid is young. He's thirsty. He's hungry.
Well, lots of Brazilians do, too. I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
No, well, that's true.
Yeah, lots of Brazilians, you know, come with that 21-0 record. I mean, he hasn't, like, his last fight out, I do think he faced a very legitimate opponent and looked really good there. And Nikolai Ventura-Tenetkov, and he's a very large opponent, fought at middleweight as well. Giles is only 29.
No, I know. And that's, you know what? Sometimes age doesn't always play a factor. This is MMA again. I don't know. Trevin has a lot of, he's got a lot of finishes, a lot of submissions, I'll say. But that was in like the 2015, like 2017 era, kind of tapered off a little bit. I don't know. I feel like Morales has the stamina to take it all the way. I don't think anything, like, not that we, you know, we're not undermining decision wins, but I just think Morales has the stamina to take it all the way to the end. I don't see a finish here. I could be wrong. This is why we have these discussions, but I think it's going to the decision.
Yeah, and Justin really thinks if it goes to a decision, it goes to Giles. I don't think that's necessarily true.
That might be, I don't know, if it does, and like that could, I'll have to watch, like, I'll determine this when the fight actually happens, but that could very well be a fucking political decision if it goes to Giles. Like,
UFC
has been a little shady with their decisions lately. So.
I don't think Trevin Giles is getting the positive. That wouldn't make any sense. But it should be a good fight. Very closely odds, -145 was originally what Michael Morales was at. Michael Morales is down to a -115, -105 on Giles. The money is coming in on Giles. I'm gonna take Morales. Maybe I can give him a plus money close to fight time. I would be totally fine with that if they want to give that to me. But I got Michael Morales, and I got Michael Morales, by decision. But I certainly think he can get the finish here, and I do kind of question how 170 is going to work for Giles. But we shall see. Next fight here is at 135. It's been rescheduled a couple times now. Aoni Barcelos, the Brazilian, taking on Victor Henry out of California Mixed Martial Arts Academy. Victor Henry, 21-5, 34 and a half years old, making his UFC debut here. So another very late debut here, taking on another 34 and a half year old in Aoni Barcelos, 16-2. So the debutant here actually has more fights. That's kind of interesting. And is slightly older, so you don't see that too often. Won his last fight back against Albert Morales with LXF. Albert Morales, a former UFC fighter, but is 10-7. Choked him out in the second round. Lost a decision to Denis Lavrentiev. But other than that, had won his last seven out. Good fighter, can fight pretty well everywhere. Had a few good wins with Deep as well as Ryzen. Mostly fought over in Japan. Has losses to pretty legit competition over there as well throughout his career. You know, he's a good scrapper, decent stand-up, good wrestling, pretty well-rounded all the way around. I do think he's going to fight for your money. Getting matched up with Haoni Barcelos for the third time here. Haoni Barcelos did lose his last fight out against Timur Valiev by majority decision, kind of just gassed out in that one and slowed down. Before that, was looking really good. Wins over Saeed Nurmagomedov as well as Khalid Taha, Chris Gutierrez. So, you know, was looking really good, good stand-up, able to keep the fight on the feet for the most part. His gas tank gets depleted at some points. But I just think overall, this should be Brazil all day. Haoni Barcelos, I think, kind of beats up Victor Henry here, finishes him somewhere inside the first two rounds by TKO.
Oh, I love it. I don't have to change a thing on my clipboard. I don't have a lot of breakdown on this one. I have Raoni by fucking TKO. I have no idea what round, but oh, look, so does many. We're all on the same page here.
Yep. So this could be a trap one, but -525 on Haoni Barcelos, +370 on Victor Henry. I don't like that price at all. That as a straight pass. I think that's going to be much closer than that. I think that Victor Henry, you know, has wanted to make this UFC debut for a long time. He's going to be coming in very prepared. And I do think he'll fight for your money at that price. I think the only option is dog or pass from a betting perspective. But I do have Haoni by TKO officially on my prediction. All right. We will move on to the next fight here. It is the final prelim fight. It is the final prelim between Ilia Topuria and short nose replacement Charles Jourdain.
This is my fight of the night.
Oh, interesting. Canada. If this is fight of the night, this could be very interesting for I think a lot of bettors out there, because I don't think a lot of bettors are anticipating this being a fight of the night. I think that there's a pretty big hype train for Ilia Topuria right now. Does not necessarily mean it's guaranteed, though. But before I go on, Charles Jourdain is where I will start the breakdown here. Charles Jourdain out of Canada, Air Jourdain, coming off of a super impressive win only a few, frankly, a few weeks ago at the beginning of December. Over Andre Ewell, ended it with a really good front kick. Before that, Julian Arosa did kind of take him into deep waters and choke him out. And that's where a big concern of mine comes. Had a close competitive fight with Josh Koulibaly and Andre Feely. Des Green kind of dominated him with the wrestling. He beat Duho Choi. The type of guys who Charles Jourdain is beating are guys who allow him to kind of play on the feet a little bit, use his leg kicks, use his body kicks, be able to strike at a distance. Ilia Topuria is not going to be doing any of that. Ilia Topuria is an absolute tank. What Ilia Topuria did to Ryan Hall, no one in the UFC has done to Ryan Hall. That was just insane. Yeah. What he made Yusuf Zalal look like he's never wrestled before. I'm really, really bummed that Masavar Ivalev pulled out of this fight, because I wanted to see that against Topuria. I still want to see that fight. That's a fight we need to see. Topuria is way too much for Charles Jourdain here, especially on short notice. Wow. Charles Jourdain is getting submitted and probably in the first round. I like Ilia Topuria. Ilia Topuria, my most confident pick on the card. I think he absolutely destroys Charles Jourdain.
I also have Ilia, not just because he's the homie, shout out to Topuria, but because look at him. Like you said, he's a fucking tank too.
Yeah,
he's good. But after, I do think I think that Charles has a little bit of momentum after his last fight. I think he got a lot of hype on that one. Now, that could be hype or bust, but I feel like this is going to be a little bit more competitive than people
are. I'm telling you that Ilia Topuria is several levels above Andre Yule.
Okay. I hear you.
So looking like that against Andre Yule is just not, I think, going to be enough momentum.
I'm excited for this fight. I know you're a little bit more professional than I am. You got a little bit more experience, but I'm really excited.
I'm not more professional. I'm the one who's saying it for Walsh.
Charles step in. I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Let's see this dude up against some real competition.
Yeah.
If nothing else, it'll tell us where Charles stands.
And where Ilya stands. Yeah, definitely.
True. And I love Ilya. I'm an Ilya no matter what. So I have him by TKO, but or KO, I should say. It's going to be a finish. But, yeah. I'm still super excited. This is my fight of the night. This is a fight I'm fucking looking forward to. Like, I'm really excited to see this match.
I hope it's closer than how I just pitched it, but I kind of understand where the odds are at with this one, a little more than the Haoni Barcelos, -575.
Come on, dude, that much.
It is what it is.
Whatever, then this will be a great dog if it is.
Yeah, well, plus 390 on Charles Jourdain. I'm definitely not betting that.
No, don't touch it.
Yeah, so.
I mean,
yeah,
we all know Ilya, but still, it'll be cool to see Charles go up against someone as tough as fucking Ilya. Because Charles, he's a beast. I mean, I know that he took it to decision, and it, you know.
Yeah. I'll be right back. 1 second. Just plug your Instagram real quick. I'll be literally 2 seconds.
Sure thing, sweetheart. He's not even going to pause the video. He's just going to leave. Manny, I have Ilya by TKO, but I fully agree, dude. I wouldn't say head crush, Justin. That's like a fucking, you get in the octagon and see how tough it is. I think Charles is better than we're giving him credit for. I think he's got a lot of gas going into this fight because he just freaking, you were 2 seconds, bro. You
didn't even Hey, when I say 2 seconds, I mean 2 seconds. But
I think I'm all on Ilya, but I am excited to see how Charles does against him.
Yeah, I feel bad for kind of burying Charles that way. But I'm a big believer in Ilya right now. And I think that this is going to be a tough fight for Charles Jourdain, but he is very tough as people have stated. But with that being said, we've made it to the main card. We're starting with a fight. not a big fan of either one of these guys. Let's see.
This is on the main card.
Yeah, I can't believe this is on the main card. I frankly would be okay if this wasn't in the UFC at all.
Ilya should be on the main card.
Yeah, Rodolfo Vieira. Yeah, I agree, honestly. Rodolfo Vieira taking on Wellington Turman at 185 here. Rodolfo Vieira, 8-1, 32 years old, fighting out of Grappling Fight Team as well as Fusion XL. Taking on the Prodigy, generous. Wellington Turman, 17-5, 25.5 years old, 6'72" reach, so pretty similar sizes for these two Brazilians. Age difference, obviously. Wellington Turman is the younger opponent here. I think the key for Wellington is that he has to keep this fight off the ground. He's got to turn this into a stand-up affair, push the pace, push the cardio, and get this going, and make Rodolfo Vieira work. Rodolfo Vieira has shown to gas. He really has. That is how you get him out. However, Wellington Turman is not very good. He doesn't have the best fight IQ. Very low, frankly. He had a split decision against Sam Alvey, which is kind of nuts. Got knocked out by Bruno Silva, which there's no shame there. Got knocked out by Andrew Sanchez, which there's some questions there. He got out-grappled in segments by Carl Roberson, which there's major questions there. Just all the way around, willing to determine how is he fighting on the main card of a pay-per-view. I don't know. He's not very good. And his only hope here is that Rodolfo Vieira gasses. Rodolfo Vieira is a world-class grappler, as we know. Decorated black belt, which when you get tired, it doesn't mean shit. Fluffy Hernandez showed that. He did rebound against Dustin Stolfus, with a third round finish, though. So that does give me some confidence here. Rodolfo Vieira gets this done by submission at some point. There's just no way I can pick Wellington Turman.
We got that together. Look at that. Vieira by the submission. Okay, sweet.
That's five straight agreements now. After three or four disagreements to start, we got five straight agreements. So
I mean, this is, come on, like, that's not like, it's not like we're going out on a limb here by saying Vieira by submission.
Yeah, he's a -200 favorite, +175 on tournament.
So it went down.
Yeah, it's definitely gone down a little bit. I don't see -290 anywhere now. So
just bleed. This is one where like Just Bleed fans are not going to be happy. This is not going to be one. These are two freaking BJJ guys.
Hopefully Vieira just finishes it quickly. Hopefully he gets a quick sub. I would most likely just go Vieira sub. I don't know why you would bet anything else. But
see, Manny's got Rodolfo by sub too. It's exciting for me because I love grapplers. So this is a hand selected fight for me just because I love grappling. So I wouldn't mind seeing them grapple until the fucking end.
But well, probably what will happen. I
understand why it wouldn't be most exciting for a lot of people, but I do love jiu-jitsu. So like, this is two jiu-jitsu specialists going up against each other. We just got an old guy and a young guy. I'm still picking Vieira by some.
Yep. Fair enough. I agree there. We both got the favorite in Rodolfo Vieira. Going on to the next fight here. It's taking place at bantamweight, and it's going to be, I think, another fight with a decent amount of grappling in it. Cody Stamann fight, obviously, is going to have grappling always versus Syed Nurmagomedov. Cody Stamann, I mean, any fight with Cody Stamann is going to be grappling. All he does is wrestle. Every single fight.
No, I can't stand up, actually, just so you know.
Oh, that's what he's been saying for like seven fights, but it never shows.
I have the inside scoop, though. He's been working on his stand up.
Okay. Well, I don't have any inside scoops. I just have what I'm observing. But Syed Nurmagomedov, 14-2 for the Russian, 29 years old, 5'8", 70-inch reach here, taking on the Michigan top team representative, 5'6", 64-inch reach of Stamann. That's part of the reason I think he has trouble with the stand-up is that he can't quite reach him with those arms. 64 inches is one of the shortest reaches in the entire organization. Syed Nurmagomedov is a longer fighter with a 70-inch reach, 5'8", fighting at bantamweight, 29 years old. Doesn't really fight like a lot of the other Nurmagomedovs. He does a lot. He fights quite a bit on his feet. Has good rangy strikes, good spinning attacks. His wrestling isn't quite as good. So I think that's where, if Stamann's smart, he's going to use his wrestling, which usually you see Nurmagomedov, you're like, oh, I'm going to have to stand up here. But I think that Stamann just needs to stick to his game plan here because when Nurmagomedov's able to strike, he got a split decision over Justin Scoggins. But after that, finished Ricardo Lawos, finished Mark Striegel, and then had a close fight with Haoni Barcelos, but all stand-up affairs. Meanwhile, Stamann, just a good, very good wrestler. And that's what I think he needs to do here. He has lost his last two. So definitely coming into this fight, very, very motivated. But those losses coming to Jimmy Rivera, who was just a little better of a wrestler and turned Stamann into a stand-up guy. And Rivera just had a little better stand-up. And then Divacevili was just a little better wrestler again. So with Stamann, he had a really close fight with Yadong Song that I personally thought he won. Brian Kelleher, a very good win that's aged well. Alejandro Perez, all good wins. He's a really good wrestler. I think like probably the 16th best bantamweight in the world, honestly. I definitely see a route for him to win this fight. And I think it's just got to be the wrestling. But there's just something that tells me Syed Nurmagomedov is going to find a way to win. I think Syed's the more well-rounded of the two guys. And I think the wrestling is going to be canceled out on both sides. So I got Syed Nurmagomedov in this one, but not one that I'd be shocked if Stamann gets the decision. I think it goes to a decision either way. For sure, but I'm going to go with Syed Nurmagomedov by decision.
I have decision too, but I'm going Cody.
Okay.
He's been like constantly underrated for no reason. Constantly overlooked, constantly underrated for no reason. But I'm also biased because he trains with XC sometimes. So I'm biased here.
Is he training out there right now?
Huh?
Is he training out there right now?
He's been working with Eddie Baracco and Nisik.
Okay.
So.
All right. But, so then we already know where you're going.
Nagomedov, and you're like, that guy's going to win no matter what. But Saeed's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the traditional Nurmagomedov.
He's
like the reject Nurmagomedov. No offense. But yeah. I think I got Cody on this one, and I got him by decision.
Okay. So is he got, you think he wrestles? You think he's how you see
no,
him win?
I think this will be a nice – I'm sure there'll be some point where he's got no choice but to resort to what he knows. But I think you're going to see a little bit more of his hands than we have in previous fights. I think you're going to be surprised at his stand up.
I definitely would be surprised if he shows off his hands here because
That's what I think. I've been wrong many times before, and I'll be wrong many times again.
Yeah, I mean, I've been surprised many times in MMA, and I'll be surprised many times again.
I am going to write that you pick Saeed though, because I'm curious. This is the ones where like we differ on ones like this. Not that it's like. It's not shocking, but I'm interested to see.
Saeed is a -185 favorite. You can get Cody Stamann at +170. I'm pretty good, whatever side you're on. I'd be feeling good with that line. I'm going to go with Saeed Nurmagomedov here.
By decision, right?
Yep, by decision. I think he's trained with a lot of good wrestlers and working on that aspect of his game. I think Nurmagomedov, having Khabib as his coach, he has to know that's your hole is your wrestling defense. So. But Cody Stamann is going to be a guy to test it. So should be an interesting one. But we'll move on to the next fight here, 170. It was originally scheduled for last week. I had to be moved due to COVID. But Michelle Pereira taking on Andre Fiallo. This should be a very good fight between two good Brazilians here. Andre Fiallo, very, very exciting. 4 knockouts in 2021. So he's on fire right now. I knocked out Michael Vick, or James Vick. I'm sorry, not Michael Vick. James Vick, Sang Hu Young, Lincoln Puig, and Stefan Sekulic. So we've knocked out two former UFC fighters. Stefan Sekulic taking place in October this past year with an elbow and a punch. So he definitely has very good stand-up. He can wrestle himself. It's lost to very good fighters in Chinjin Ninja Chuani and Chris Curtis, his last couple losses. So no shame in any of those, obviously. Action man himself, Antonio Dos Santos Jr., another UFC, former UFC fighter. So 3 UFC losses there. Michelle Pereira, very, very exciting, good striker. But what's become kind of scarier with him is he's becoming more composed in his last few wins. So I think that actually makes him better. He's only 28 years old, and he's got a ton of experience at 28-11. He's made a lot of mistakes, but last 3 wins over Zalim Imadov, Chaos Williams, and Nico Price, the last 2. He's just fought very, very intelligent and very composed, and I think that's a key. With Nico Price did start to have some fortune in the 3rd round, really pressuring on Pereira and starting to connect there. I think Fiallo can take some notes from that. But honestly, I think that Michelle Pereira is just going to outmaneuver, out MMA him, and just use his IQ and take a decision here. I think Pereira kind of shed that like initial kind of label of wild man doing anything, throwing caution in the wind. He started really piecing together his whole game, fighting really intelligently. And I think he knows this is a very dangerous opponent in Fiallo. And I think he just fights an intelligent fight, puts Fiallo on his back in a few of the rounds, just out wrestles him. And, we'll mix in the striking and grappling just overall, but I like Pereira by decision.
Wow. Damn. I got to write this one down too. Pereira by decision, you said, yeah?
Yep.
I have an upset. I have the Fiallo upset with a KO.
Nice.
Damn. But I was struggling between the two of them. I was. I wrote that down.
He's got 4 straight KOs, and he's fought great competition. So he's definitely ready for this.
All right, let's go. All right, you got the favorite. I got the upset. Let's do it.
Yeah. And so I got Pereira minus 270, plus 230 on Andre Fiallo. Very good value on the underdog. I see a lot of people with that underdog, but yeah, I think Pereira is kind of hitting on all cylinders right now. And I'd be pretty surprised, but yeah, a lot of Fiallo. We got Fiallo TKO here. But it should be super fun. Yeah, it should be fun, but I think it might be boring, which might really mean Pereira wins. Pereira's been starting to become like the king of boring fights all of a sudden. It's kind of interesting. But either way, that's the last fight before our two championship fights. So we move on to the first of two main events here in the trilogy, the first ever trilogy to all take place back to back to back. in UFC history, and it's nice, it's for good reason. And Davidson Figueiredo taking on the champion, Brandon Moreno, pretty much everybody's just favorite champion of 2021, I would say. You know, the people's champion, you could say. And Davidson Figueiredo, this is the third time they fought. Brandon Moreno arguably won both, but did not win the first one technically. Won the second one.
I'm happy that ended in a draw. That was like, yeah, one, we're all like, ah, we'll be all right with that.
Won the second one most definitely, and now we have a third one. So yeah. Davidson Figueiredo, 34 years old now, training with Henry Cejudo, and looking in tremendous shape for this. I think he's going to come in looking very different for this fight. 22-1 in his career, so really good record for the 34-year-old. 5'5", 68-inch reach. Massive for this weight class, but he does look like he's cut a little bit of mass leading up to this. So I do think his weight cut should be a little more appropriate than it's been the last couple fights. Beat Joseph Benavidez twice, Alex Perez, Tim Elliott, and he put all these guys away, either with the strikes or with the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. A win over Pantoja as well. Like, this Figueiredo is one of the best 125ers in the world. Has had two wars with Brandon Moreno so far. The first one especially, but the second one also a very good one. Brandon Moreno, we know the story, 19-5, got cut from the UFC at one point, worked his way back. When he has had a solid win over, you know, I just kind of think that the win over Brandon Royval, you know, was solid. He looked really good in that fight, even though it was an injury. But it was the win over Ferminga, I think, that kind of let him know that he really was kind of belonged at this level. The Askarov fight, I think, is one that made him better. And then the Davidson Figueiredo fights. I mean, he arguably has won four of the last five rounds of that fight. That was Chico Elliott.
Elliott loves Chico.
And As the fight went on, Moreno has seemed to have figured out Figueiredo. I do really think that Figueiredo's made the proper adjustments here. Yeah. And I do think that Figueiredo, it's all about, it's a couple things for me with Figueiredo that are X factors for me. If he has a good weight cut, which it looks like he is coming into this fight, less massive. And the thing that I'm not as sure about is if he actually respects Brandon Moreno, though.
There's like newfound beef between them.
Yeah, well, I feel like he still just doesn't believe Brandon Moreno beat him. I think he believes it was a bad cut. I wasn't taking it serious. And it's a little bit more than that. I think the scrambles and, you know, a lot of spots still go to Brandon Moreno. I've been back and forth on this one. I was originally leaning towards one direction of Figueiredo, but honestly, the more I think about this fight, the more I think about Figueiredo at 34 years old making the cut to 125. I know that Figueiredo Davidson is not his brother, but his brother just pulled out of a fight 11 weeks in advance. And to me, that is a little bit of, you know, who are we surrounding ourselves with? I know we've all seen the highlights of him training with Henry Cejudo, and now Henry Cejudo is everybody's homeboy and everything. But, I think that Figueiredo is going to come in this fight and think he can get the knockout. I don't think he can knock out Moreno. I think after the first two rounds, this becomes Moreno's fight. And I think that Moreno, again, takes this one. I think it most likely goes the distance, but I could see Moreno snatching up another submission at some point on Scramble. But I got Brandon Moreno defending his title here by decision.
Aaron, you and me, baby, till the end, dude. I have Anstill by decision too. But I got a little nervous. I was nervous to say my pick because I've seen in the comments like people forget how dangerous Figueiredo actually is, which he is. Mm-hmm. But there are so many other factors to go into why I picked Moreno, not just because my heart is telling me Moreno, but
yeah.
I don't think it's going to be as exciting as their second fight where Moreno, you know, just like shocked the world with this massive win. But I do think he's going to keep his belt. And I think it's going to be in a little less exciting fashion, but I think he's going to keep it. I think.
Well, yeah, I could. I don't think it's possible for these guys to not have an exciting fight, to be honest. So I think that maybe
exciting in terms of the casual fan base. You know that we get excited over the most boring fights. So I'm appealing to the casuals here by exciting.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see the weigh-ins. I'll definitely be interested to see the weigh-in, see how Figueiredo comes into this fight. I'm curious if they're going to have a backup for Figueiredo.
You think he's going to blow?
Well, I think they have to with the weight issue. Have someone like backing him up in case he doesn't make weight because, but I just don't get I don't get this vibe that Brandon Moreno has become complacent in being champion or gotten distracted by it. And I think that he knows how to beat Figueiredo at this point. I think he's now had 8+ rounds with him. And that, you know, if Figueiredo wins, they're running it back for a fourth time. Yeah. What else are they going to do, Sam? What else? Put Askar Askarov in there. They don't want Askar Askarov to fight for the title. Like, I want Askar Askarov to fight for the title, but they don't want Askar Askarov to fight for the title. They'd rather just have it be the Davidson Figueiredo fucking Brandon Moreno division for the next 5 years. They do 6 more of these fights in a row. So they're fine with this. And yeah, Figueiredo wins. They definitely do it back because Figueiredo will get on the mic, call Brandon Moreno like a baby or something. And like everybody will be like, oh, we want Brandon Moreno in his Lego belt. Wow. Yeah. And then Vince McMahon, I mean Dana White, will be in the back just counting his money. So should be a great fight.
Still by decision, so do you. But I understand why people are picking Figueiredo. So
yeah, the price on Moreno is -170 +145 on Davidson Figueiredo. Pretty surprised. I think the price will keep getting closer as fight goes on. So I'm going to wait to put my bet in on Moreno. But I expect it to be another good one here. If you like to bet, how do you not go with him when he got underdog money? Who are you talking about, Justin?
He's probably talking about Figueiredo because he's the underdog.
Figueiredo is the underdog, yeah. But I don't understand what he's saying. It's all good. Sure. Move on to the main event of the evening here. It is between Francis Ngannou, the former champ, and now the interim champ, Ciryl Gane. This is the heavyweight championship, the one that this is the fight that everybody's been wanting to see. It's plain and simple. We know the storylines. I'm not going to kind of exhaust those too much, but former training partners, Ngannou supposedly he knocked him out. And still, I don't know what "and still" means since both are technically champions. Ciryl Gane, no one has been a bigger fan of him than I have been. You can hear all of the breakdowns where I've been talking and defending his performances. I remember his fight against Rosenstruck that everybody attacked but me. I talked about how that was complete art.
I changed to your decision. Remember that?
Yep.
We were both on that one.
Yep, and Ciryl just has really passed the last every test with flying colors, frankly, since getting into the UFC. Junior Dos Santos put him away, knocked him out. But then it was the Rosenstruck complete 5-round performance against Alexander Volkov as well, just dominating all 5 of those rounds. Against Derek Lewis, dominated the rounds until putting him away in the 3rd round. Francis Ngannou did not do that against Derek Lewis. So that is their common opponent, or common opponent, and the difference in kind of the result there. You know, but with Ciro, he is so quick. He's so good on his feet. He's so technical. You know, he's got the ability to get this fight to the ground. He's new into MMA, yet still so good. And, you know, I think that he will eventually be a champion. And I think that he's going up against the hardest hitter in MMA history, and Francis Ngannou, the Predator, 35 years old, still should be champ out of Extreme Couture now, looking better than ever. Five straight wins, 16-3 overall here. You know, has not fought since last March when he put away Stipe Miocic. We both remember that fight very well. Knockout in the second round, clean knockout. Looked like his takedown defense had gotten so much better. It looked like overall he was getting, he's improving still at 35 years old and still new in MMA himself. The knockouts speak for themselves. Since the two losses to Derek Lewis and Stipe Miocic, I think he's learned a ton. He's fought for a total of 8 minutes since those two losses. You know, I just, for me, I'm so pumped for this fight, first and foremost. I think we are so lucky to have this fight. The storylines are great in there. Everything's great in there. Extreme Couture versus Ferdinand in, you know, the MMA factory in Paris, which has gotten better and better. So I don't think that there's a crazy thing or not here, but I got Francis Ngannou by as an underdog. I have to bet him, period. No. Francis Ngannou as an underdog is insanity against anybody. And I get Gone is everybody's shiny new toy. Giga Chikadze last week was everybody's shiny new toy, as everybody had thrown out Calvin Kattar, Andy style. And Calvin Kattar kind of reminded people. I think that Ngannou, he's been away for a while. And Ngannou, yeah, there's some questions. Is he focused? Is he thinking about boxing fights? Is he thinking about this? And yeah, it might all be true, but it takes one shot. And I do believe at some point he connects with Ciryl Gane. I could see a head kick knockout. I really could. I think that would be insane. But yeah, I could see a head kick knockout. But either way, I'm not going to predict the exact method, but I think he knocks out Ciryl Gane inside of 3 rounds.
That is so disappointing, because there has never been one fight where you've gone to Extreme Couture and I have gone against Extreme Couture.
I don't care. Yeah.
That's crazy.
They got me. I can't pass on Ngannou at underdog money. Like, I can't.
And Ngannou is going to move to boxing and he's going to be very successful there. Ciryl Gane is the prototype, I'll coin your term, he is the prototype of an MMA fighter. He is master class. He moves so fast, he can predict his opponent's strike. Look what he did against Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis didn't know what the fuck to do against him. He was like, look at this opponent switching his stances so quickly. Like, Lewis didn't know what to do, and he embodies that one-punch power. Now, I know that Francis is a little bit more powerful than Lewis, but if that fight goes anything like it did against Lewis, Ciryl has this all day. But it is it's extremely tough to call, because both of them are just so skilled in many different ways. But I'm going Ciryl, and I'm psyched for this fight, as is everyone. But it is tough, because this is heavyweights. They're out there to fucking put their opponent away. And
I'm telling you, I've gone back and forth on this one, but I've been on Francis for the last few days. I just think he connects. I think he does end up putting Gane away. I think that there's, there's just something. I can't pick against Francis here.
No. And no respect to my Extreme Couture homies, because I love Francis Ngannou. Mm-hmm. And I think he should move to boxing after this fight, whether he wins or loses, because I think he'll make more money and I think he'll do better. But I'm going Ciryl. I have no idea how it's going to happen. It's either violent knockout with an elbow, or I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, Ciryl Gane is the favorite, minus 150, plus 135 on Ngannou.
He's not much, though. He's not, like, crazy favorite. It's
so crazy that he's the favorite.
It's annoying because everyone counted him out before this fight. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's on Ciryl Gane's ass. Like, that's what's annoying about it.
I mean, that's how it always works.
I know, but still.
And they're all over him against Volkov as well. Yeah, I think this is a spot I like the dog in, Francis Ngannou. So really quickly, we'll go through our quick picks and then we'll kind of talk about our overall thoughts on the fight and we'll call it a night. Pretty efficient breakdown tonight. It's great to have you back as always, but we'll get our quick picks and then we'll give everybody our kind of final thoughts and everything and we'll sign off. But so many notes indeed, but with our quick picks here, we're starting with Jasmine Jerrod-Bikias versus Kay Hansen. I have Kay Hansen.
And I have Jasmine.
All right. Next fight, we've got Matt Frivola versus Gennaro Valdez. I have Matt Frivola.
I have Valdez.
All right. Next fight, Vanessa Demopoulos versus Silvana Gomez Juarez. I have Silvana Gomez Juarez.
Gomez as well.
All right. First agreement. Tony Gravely versus Simon Oliveira. I got Tony Gravely.
I've got Oliveira.
All right. Jack Della Maddalena versus Pete Rodriguez. Jack Della.
I've got Jack.
Yep. You got Jack. Jack's for Jack. Jack for Jacks. And then Michael Morales versus Trevin Giles. Michael Morales for me.
And I've got, oh my God, I have so many. I have Morales as well.
Yep. Haoni Barcelos versus Victor Henry. Haoni Barcelos.
And Marioni by me.
Yep. Ilya Topuria versus Charles Jourdain. Ilya Topuria.
Everyone has Ilya.
Rodolfo Vieira versus Wellington Turman. Rodolfo Vieira.
Vieira.
All right. Cody Stamann versus Saeed Nurmagomedov. I have Saeed Nurmagomedov.
Yeah, Cody.
All right, Michelle Pereira versus Andre Fiallo. Michelle Pereira.
Fiallo.
All right, Davidson Figueiredo versus Moreno. I got Moreno.
Moreno.
And Francis Ngannou versus Ciryl Gane. Give me Francis Ngannou.
Ciryl.
All right, so we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 disagreements on the card.
Bad for a 13-fight card, bro.
Yep, not bad at all. I would say that on this card, my three most confident, and this kind of makes a statement about how tough this card is. It would probably be Matt Frivola, Saeed Nurmagomedov, and Brandon Moreno. Michelle Pereira actually would be up there too. Michelle Pereira. Saeed Nurmagomedov and Brandon Moreno would be my three most confident.
I think Ilya.
Ilya, obviously.
Yeah, I know he's pretty much on there. I'm going Ciryl for my fucking, because I'm confident in that motherfucker.
Ciryl's your most confident.
Yes! Ciryl, Ilya, okay. And Valdez.
Okay, well, that's okay. Nuts. Matt, those are some crazy most confident, but that's why we have you on the show. Bunny. Always a pleasure to have you on doing big things. Do you have anything coming up this weekend that you're covering?
I will be with the media and I'll be doing the press conference for Cage Titans on February 5th.
Okay.
Representing Fight Bananas. And I'll also be doing NEF, which is like another New England Fighting Championship. So I'll be covering most of the fights here in New England.
Okay. So we've got the New England cartel scene covered. I'll be covering got the LFA breakdown already on the channel, as I said, with Lucky Locks. We got Bellator next week. I'll be back with Norton MMA for that. Subscribe to Norton MMA if you're not already subscribed to that. He has tons of great fight previews. Had a really great interview today with a fight nutritionist where you can get a ton of insight on fight preparation, fight weight cuts, tons of stuff. Norton MMA, check that out. Check out Lucky Locks picks as well. And check out Boston Comments on Instagram if you're not already following her there. She'll let you know where to find everything. For Aaron the Dog, for Bunny of Boston Comments, enjoy the fights. Friday night is LFA, and then Saturday we got the UFC. Thank you guys all for joining us. Until next time, see you later.